Hello and welcome to Simply Save, the personal finance podcast from Money Control. You're listening to Season 3, brought to you by HDFC Mutual Fund. I'm your host, Jerome Anthony, and in Season 3, we're going to talk about aspirations. If the rich can do it, why can't I? How did the investor become rich? Does he do things differently? Where do they invest? How do they spend money? Most of all, how do they manage to retire rich, enjoy comfortable lives in their retirement, travel the world, and yet not have to go to office? These are some questions that play on our mind. But today we're not talking about this. Today we're going to talk about retirement planning. Yes, it sounds boring. I mean, who wants to talk about retirement planning, knowing that, you know, we have still quite a few years to go in our career. But that's one of the things that separates a successful rich investor from the not so successful ones like you and me. So to talk about this and to tell us everything about retirement planning, we have Money Control's personal finance editor, Kezad Adjania, who's going to tell us everything we need to know about retirement planning. Hi and welcome to the show, Kezad.
Hi, Jerome. Good to be back.
So Kezad, let's start with what or when and how should someone even plan retirement?
So, if you speak to financial planners who've been around for a long time, you know, successful financial planners who have basically a good track record of turning around people's finances and helping them grow their wealth over a period of time. If you speak to such serious planners, they will always tell you that, you know, the day you start your first salary is the day that you should start your retirement planning.
Okay.
Now, obviously, it seems very radical. I never did that when I got my first salary, you know, because first of all, what happens when you get your first salary? You suddenly get a gush of financial independence and you want to do a whole host of things with that money first. I mean, who wants to talk about retirement, right? As you rightly said in your intro, you know, you start your working life, you want to enjoy, you first want to go out and spend. It's that thrill of spending your own money, which encompasses everything in your life at that moment. Retirement is still like 30, 40 years away. You have time, but there are lots of other things that you would want to do at the beginning.
Okay.
Also, the other challenge, and a serious challenge that millennials, our young listeners face, is that still the starting salaries are usually very low.
Right.
If you are staying in, let's say, Bombay, Delhi, or any metro city, the rent obviously takes up a big chunk of your take-home income.
Right.
Okay. Then what do you have? You have like your entertainment expenses. I mean, of course, you have to go out for a movie occasionally. An occasional bite here and there becomes like a regular kind of an eating out. You know, today you have food with your friends, tomorrow you have with your bosses, the after it's with your colleagues, the fourth day it's a movie and so on and so forth. So how much of little bit of it is left for you to save? And you have other goals also to save, right? I mean, you want to go for a holiday, let's say, hopefully like 1 year down the line or 6 months down the line. So you got to save for that. You're thinking about buying a house. You think about, let's say, buying a two-wheeler or a four-wheeler, a car or a bike or something. So there are lots of other things that in your mind mentally takes a priority over retirement.
Okay.
But, you know, think about it this way, that, you know, what the kind of lifestyle that you would eventually want to end up having, let's say, once you start your financial independence, is something that you got to sustain after your retirement also. So think about that. Because after your retirement, you're not going to get any income.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
But you need to still maintain your standard of living.
Right.
So that's why, you know, the basic finance 101 tells you that, you know, you got to start planning about your retirement as soon as you can. Preferably with your first salary, but it's okay. It's okay if you really are tight in a tight money situation in your first couple of years of earning. That's still okay if you still postpone your retirement planning till about, let's say, your third or the fourth year. Hopefully by that time your salary also would have grown to a slightly more respectable level than what it is right now. But you need to, once you're done with your initial, your financial independence finding and all of that, get down to your retirement planning. Put away some money from your savings. Let's say at least 1,000 rupees a month or 2,000 rupees a month. And that should be your retirement corpus.
All right. So how do you begin with your retirement? Now we know when we should start. And when you want to start, what should you do?
Let me just give you some numbers.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Before we basically get down to how to start and what to do and what not to do. So let's say if you are a 25-year-old, you're setting aside 5,000 rupees a month. That means 60,000 rupees a year you're setting aside.
Right.
Okay. this is a mutual fund SIP that I'm talking about, right? Okay. Particularly earmarked for your retirement planning.
Okay.
So 5,000 a month, 60,000 a year.
Right.
And let's say you retire till age of 60. How much you will end up investing? You will end up investing 21 lakh rupees.
Wow. Okay.
So 21 lakh rupees is just your investment corpus, that your principal amount. Okay. Right. Assuming that you invest in a mutual fund that grows by 12% a year.
Okay.
Okay. By 60 years, you will end up...
Which is quite normal.
Which is quite normal.
Right.
12% is quite normal. I'm taking a conservative rate.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So let's say you will... In that fund, by the age of 60, you will end up earning about 3.21 crore rupees.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
So that's a decent amount to start with. Obviously, I'm assuming that you would, over a period of time, you put more and more money.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm giving you a very conservative example.
Okay.
Now, the reason why I'm giving you is this. Suppose, let's say, if you are a little late, let's say by 25, you don't start planning.
Okay.
Let's say you miss the bus and you start planning a little later.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, assuming that you start late, okay, now you sort of were enjoying your life still, you know, when you were 25 all the way till you turn 30.
Mm-hmm.
And let's assume that at age 35, you decide to sort of start retirement planning. So you're already 10 years late,
okay?
But you need to accumulate the same amount of 21 lakh,
okay,
at by the time you retire.
Right.
So then how much you need to invest every month? Obviously, it will go up. The figure has gone up to 7,000 now. Remember, earlier you had to invest just 5,000 a month. Now you have to invest 7,000 a month.
Right.
Even if you invest 7,000 a month and accumulate the same amount that you had accumulated, had you started at 25, your corpus would have still grown to 1.31 crores. Just 1.31. Of course, it's still a big amount.
Yeah. That's very decent.
But compared to 3.21 crore, it's less, right?
Yeah.
So, if you had started at 25, as per that calculation which we just talked about, it would have been 3.21 crore. Now, it is just 1.31 crore.
Right.
Now, assume that you start very late and you started about at age 45.
Okay.
Which unfortunately many of us do.
Right.
Okay. Now, again, to reach that particular figure of 21 lakh, imagine that you are about 20 years late.
Right.
Okay, from the first target.
25 to,
from the ideal retirement planning start target date, you're 20 years late.
Mm-hmm.
So which means that to reach the target of 21 lakh of investment corpus, you would need to invest close to 12,000 a month.
Close to
12,000 a month. That's a big figure. That's a big jump from, you know, 5,000 that we started off with.
Right.
And here, your money would have grown to just 58 lakh rupees.
Whoa, not even a crore.
Not even a crore.
Okay. Oh, so it's definitely better. The earlier you start, it's better.
Yeah.
And
so, you know, when you see fund houses, when you see your advisors talking about something called as the power of compounding, it's not just theoretical. It's not just bookish. It's not just something that's written in textbooks or brochures or something. This is actually the power of compounding. So it actually works, and it actually is a fact. It's a reality. The compounding power of compounding is a reality.
Okay. That's really wonderful to know, the power of compounding. So tell me, how can retirement planning benefit us, and what about those of us who are in their 30s?
Okay, so retirement planning is important, okay, as we spoke about that at the start. But what we also took cognizance of, and it's a fact that, you know, when you're in your 30s or when you're in your early 20s or early 30s rather, your priorities are different. I mean, you're not thinking about retirement, as we said, still about 30, 40 years away. You know, you're thinking about your dream home or your car that you want to buy, or a two-wheeler that you want to buy before that, or what about, you know, your annual holidays and all that. So obviously that's a priority. But you know what? Your lifespans are increasing by the day because of medical advancements. So obviously you're living longer than before. Okay, and obviously if you're living longer than before, then you know, you're living a longer retired life. Like after 60, you know, you're going to be living longer. You're going to be moving away from joint families these days to nuclear families. So which reduces the chances of financial help in case if it's required. The other thing, what we also need to remember, especially today's generation, is the concept of pensions is also no longer there. Like earlier, you know, our parents and grandparents used to, you know, get pensions that would sort of take care of them in their retired life. But these days, that's also gone. only certain government-owned companies kind of give you your pensions, but you never know what's going to be the case by the time you come to your retirement stage. So it's always better that you start planning. Also, you know, this generation we see, it's more aspirational than the previous generation, especially when it comes to, you know, planning your expenses, like, you know, planning your unfulfilled dreams of travel, pursuing passions, hobbies, etc., etc., obviously, which everything requires money. So, which is why, you know, we always say that retirement planning, even in your 20s or even in your 30s, is also important. You at least need to start doing that. Equity funds are one of the best ways through which, you know, you can start planning for your retirement. And, you know, since your retirement is, suppose, let's say, quite many years away, and we always say that, you know, you need to look at equity funds for at least a 5 to 7 year tenure, obviously, they are quite ideal instruments for you to plan your retirement. Now, how to go about doing it? Obviously, once you've chosen your set of equity funds, your one fund or two funds, equity funds that you're going to be setting aside for your retirement, start an SIP with it. Okay, but you know, don't touch that SIP till the time that you actually retire. People have a tendency of starting an SIP. People have a tendency of then dipping into that for, you know, various kind of expenses, you know, this expense, that expense, after every few months or so. And, you know, if you keep dipping into your retirement, you're again going to be starting from ground zero. So let your, build your SIPs, build your equities over a long period of time. Don't touch it. Even if it is a small corpus, every month, 1,000 rupees, 2,000 rupees, 5,000 rupees, start with it right now. And every year, as in when you get an increment, devote a small portion of that additional increment to your SIP and top it up. Let's say if you're investing 5,000 every month for the first 2 years, in the second year or the third year, let it go up by 6,000 a year. But don't touch that SIP. They are designed for your retirement. So let them continue till your retirement. Lastly, you know, I would like to say that, you know, there are funds, mutual fund schemes, which are designed for your retirement, which are called retirement funds. They are structured in a way that, you know, they don't allow you to withdraw your funds before you turn 60. Okay. Or if you want to withdraw, you know, they impose a high penalty to dissuade you from premature withdrawals. They are also designed in a way that, you know, to minimize or limit the volatility as you go along. But these retirements are also good. Funds are also good. Otherwise, you can just invest your money in a plain vanilla diversified equity fund, and provided you're disciplined, don't touch till you're 60, you're good, you're set. So that's how you should go about planning your retirement.
But the main thing here is that once you set aside money for retirement, you do not touch it come what may.
Correct.
All right. What about inflation? We have to keep an eye on that as well.
Correct. We have to keep an eye on that as well. And good you brought up inflation, Jerome, because inflation actually tells you how much you need to save up for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So obviously when you're looking at a target, let's say when you turn 60, should it be just a blind target? Should it be just a blind amount, like I want a crore? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the guarantee that the crore will be enough for you by the time you turn 60?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because inflation is there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And inflation is basically, what is inflation? Inflation is the hike in the price of the products.
Right.
Okay. So your purchasing power basically over a point in time goes down.
Right.
Because you need more money at that time to buy the same amount of goods.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, inflation is very, very crucial when you talk about retirement planning.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, you know, inflation we normally talk about as 6-7% is the general average inflation that our country has always had.
Right.
Okay, but remember one thing, that not everything grows by just 6-7%. In terms of the price.
Right.
Medical inflation, for instance. Okay.
Mm.
Normally, financial planners say they can take a very conservative medical inflation. So they take 12%.
Okay.
Okay. Because medical costs are very high. Hospital bills are also very high. Medicine costs and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Treatments obviously go up by leaps and bounds. So medical inflation, if you want to factor in how much you want to save for your retirement, save prices of other products, which grows by 6%.
Mm-hmm.
Medical inflation has to be about 12%. Education inflation also should be conservative, about 10%. Because,
okay,
see, medical and education, they are, these things cannot be compromised.
Right.
If you're planning for your child's education, if you're planning for your own medical corpus,
mm-hmm,
these things are very important.
Yeah.
You can't compromise that. So
right,
have a conservative target.
Okay.
And have a plan it in such a way that you are expecting a big rise in your medical costs or in your kids' education cost over a period of years, and then you come up with a retirement target of how much you want to save for.
All right, so Kezad, talking about SIPs, I mean, all this sounds fun, but considering now I've retired, How will I be able to continue with my SIPs then?
So, you know, once you retire, it could be that you're not earning any income. It could be that you have chosen to completely retire from regular working life. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your monthly income will fall or stop in many cases. Okay. Yes. So in that case, there's no need for you to continue your SIPs. Because I'm assuming that if you had started your retirement planning early, you would have accumulated enough money for you now to take benefit of once you retire. So there is another product called SWP, which is a systematic withdrawal plan.
Okay.
So you accumulate your money through an SIP all through your working life, but once you retire, obviously you need the money on a regular basis because your monthly expenses are there, and you need the money. In fact, you need your mutual fund now to pay you back all that money that you had accumulated. So there is a feature called as SWP, which enables you to withdraw a fixed sum of money every month from your mutual fund.
Okay.
So your SIPs will go on till you are 60, but after 60, you should opt for an SWP, which is a systematic withdrawal plan.
Okay.
Because you've saved all your life, now you need that money to enjoy, But you don't need that all of that money straight away at one go.
Right.
You shouldn't do that, and you wouldn't do that, right?
All right. Sometime back, Kezad, you mentioned medical costs. That's like one of the biggest concerns
after
retirement.
Absolutely. So, as I said, medical inflation, when you target a retirement corpus and when you try and ascertain how much money you need to accumulate, obviously your medical cost, your medical bills, your future medical corpus is also one of that, right? As part of your retirement corpus. So, whatever medical corpus or whatever medical costs are there today, you inflate that by 12%. Over as many years, and that's the medical cost that you need to have. So that's one way of funding your medical treatment after 60. Okay. The other thing is obviously you need to have sufficient insurance with you.
Okay.
And insurance, again, is something that we've been discussing all throughout our podcast episodes.
Yes.
And I cannot say this enough, that you need to have your health insurance in place at an early age, as early as possible. So that, you know, even, and don't depend on your company insurance. Of course, your company also will give you insurance.
Right.
But, you know, once you leave your job or once you become an entrepreneur midway, okay, your company insurance will stop overnight. Then what would you do?
Exactly.
Okay, so for that, you need to have bought, you need to rather buy health insurance, your own personal health insurance, as early in your life stage as possible, and keep renewing that, because once you enter into the insurance domain, you're already in. Okay, then every year you just have to renew your policies. So that health insurance policy would also hold you in good stead once you retire.
Okay.
And plus you have your retirement corpus, right, to fund you if there's a shortfall or something like that.
Sure. What about succession? And how important is succession planning?
So that's very important. Succession planning, again, this is something that we have always discussed in our podcast episodes.
Yes.
But succession planning is an integral part of retirement planning because, you know, you have, hopefully you have worked well throughout your life. You've had a good career. You've had a good life. You've built a good fortune for yourself. Now, you know, what do you do with that fortune? What will happen after that, after you're gone? Okay,
right.
So obviously your loved ones are there, you may have dependents also on you. You need to ensure that you pass on this money to the right person concerned. Okay, and if you have multiple heirs, okay, then how much will go to what and what will go to what? What part of your wealth or estate will go to what? You have your mutual fund investments, you have your share investments, you know, you have your collectibles, you have your watches or whatever it is that you have accumulated. You have your real estate also. Many people have real estate.
Yes.
You have your jewelry. So what's going to happen to all of that after you're gone? Okay. Now, you may say that you don't care what happens. Okay. But why leave a mess for your heirs? Because if there are multiple heirs, just to avoid infighting or just to avoid multiple people putting a claim on the same amount of asset, it's going to leave a mess for them. So why leave a mess for them behind, right? You plan your succession while you're alive and make a good will, make a list of all your assets, make a list of all your heirs and just map them.
All right, Kezad, so we've planned our retirement now. But what do you do after you're retired, like generally?
Okay, so this question is not as simple as you as people might make it. Obviously, the obvious answer is that, you know, once you retire, you don't do anything, you just put your feet up. But the fact of the matter is that it's one thing to say that, you know, you don't do anything after retire, but it's quite another to actually follow up. Because assuming that you're going to be retiring at 60, suddenly you're going from a very busy life to a life where you can do almost everything and anything, or you can just do nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know, we've seen many people, Jerome, who, you know, after 1 year of just sitting at home and, you know, doing nothing, watching TV, watching movies, how much can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen many people getting bored out of their lives just 1.5 years down their retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're itching back to sort of get back to their, you know, traveling by train, talking to the train friends, packing,
right,
the joy of packing lunch in the morning, going to office, you know, and going through that entire day and coming back home fully satisfied that you've done something meaningful during the day.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling many people start to miss after the retirement.
Okay.
Fine, you can enjoy your life for a year, year and a half, and then, but then after that, what? And you know, this is something that we see, and many financial planners also have been seeing in people who are about 30s or 40s. And when they say that, you know, I want my early retirement. After 40, I want to retire.
Retire.
After 45, I want to retire.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it's one thing to say that, but it's quite another to actually be in that situation and then do nothing,
mm-hmm,
and still think that you're adding meaning to your life.
Right.
Okay, so there's a gap somewhere over there.
Right.
So many financial advisors obviously rightfully advise that, you know, try and utilize your retirement years into keeping yourself busy.
Mm-hmm.
You could become a consultant, you could become a teacher, you have some skills based on which your career was,
mm-hmm,
the past 30, 40 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Use that skill somehow to sort of do a part-time job and pass on that skills to somebody else. You can,
mm-hmm,
become a consultant, as I said. You can become a teacher. You can continue writing or do whatever it is just to keep yourself busy. You might not obviously earn the level of salary that you were earning when you were at the peak of your career,
mm-hmm,
but it's enough to keep your mind occupied, and that's very, very important. Keeping your mind occupied,
mm-hmm,
is as important as having a good retirement fund corpus by the time you retire.
All right. That's quite interesting. Thanks for telling us, giving us this detailed process of planning your retirement, Kezad. It was wonderful talking to you.
My pleasure.
With that, we wrap this episode of the Simply Save podcast. Remember, folks, mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully. If you have any query, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I'd repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.